Higher platinum prices coupled with higher production has landed Anglo American Platinum in a sweet spot. The miner's interim headline earnings has soared to over 46 billion rand, which will go right back into the pockets of shareholders with a base and special dividend of 175 rand per share having been declared. Company CEO Natasha Viljoen joins us now with her take on the current momentum and what it means for future growth. Thanks so much, Natasha, for your time this evening. So you've had the rand basket price for your metals up 29% year on year, really providing a kicker to your earnings. But like I said in the introduction, it's come hand in hand with a 59% increase in production as well. Good first half, relatively speaking, right? Bearing in mind that there are some base effects from the prior period to take into consideration.
That's absolutely right, Alicia, and good evening to you and your viewers. Certainly, we are very appreciative of very good commodity prices, but I think from a production point of view, we have managed to get our production line up and running. And when we compare our results to 2019 to just equalize out any of the impact of either COVID or our ACP disruption in 2020, we have managed to, despite all of the COVID impacts, to keep our production flat compared to 2019.
Okay, so that on the supply side, Natasha, talk us through the demand scenario you're feeding into here that's currently at play and the extent to which you see it being sustained or at least supported as we move forward.
Alicia, if we look at the last 18 months, we've seen a big disruption first, well, brought on by COVID early in 2020, first brought on by a demand uncertainty, and then shortly on the back of that, when South Africa went into a hard lockdown, certainly a supply uncertainty, considering that South Africa is the biggest supplier of the PGM metals. As we saw, the supply and demand coming back and getting back into a more balanced view at the moment, we started to see the demand side coming back stronger than what we originally anticipated. And despite the fact that we do see a transition in the drivetrain with battery electric vehicles coming on and certainly also the potential of hydrogen electric vehicles, we've at the same time seen a continuous increase in emission legislation, and stricter emission legislation requires higher PGM loadings. So on balance, on the medium term, we foresee that commodity prices will remain strong.
Yeah. Natasha, despite that, though, you've got to be filled with some kind of mixed emotion operating in South Africa, where on the one hand, you see an improvement in production and supply, managing to cater to that rising demand via strides you're making in mechanization, but where on the other hand, any production forecasts are subject to challenges like Eskom load shedding in particular.
Alicia, I think you're right. We, as a country, certainly we have many challenges, but we equally have many opportunities to draw from. I think while we work very closely with Eskom as an intense high-intensity user group, we've also seen a relaxation in opportunity to self-generate energy, and we're certainly quite excited about the opportunities that opens up for us. Not only in terms of our generation for our own operations and the impact it can have on our decarbonisation strategy, but it certainly all our strategies include how we support our doorstep communities in terms of energy supply.
Like you say, Natasha, you aren't sitting idle. So talk us through the kind of investments you're making in becoming self-sufficient, reducing that reliance on Eskom and the extent to which that Eskom reliance does get reduced at the end of the day.
I think, Alicia, when we look at the 2040 targets that we set ourselves, it is important for us to move into a renewable energy space. We are very committed to support government, though, in the just transition in this energy space, to, in the long term, make sure that as a country as a whole, we benefit from it. In the very short term, We've started with a focus at our Mogalakwena operation. That's currently about 25% of our energy consumption. And 17% of that Mogalakwena operation is reliant on diesel and petrol. So our starting point was to convert our diesel fleet into a hydrogen fleet. We're doing the technology development to convert a typical 300-ton diesel truck into a hydrogen truck. Now, the implication of this is significant for us. Firstly, from our own decarbonization strategy, but secondly, also the technology development in enabling that heavy-duty application of hydrogen, which doesn't have an implication for our decarbonization strategy, but has a direct implication for the future use of our product, which again, obviously, gives broader benefit to a broader society. I think in that hydrogen space, we are playing a very significant role, both in terms of the support through our AP Ventures, the support of the development of the technology, but also in terms of advocacy, both in South Africa and broader outside South Africa, to develop that market.
Of course, technology, Natasha. Sorry to interrupt, but technology very much a theme for you, right? Because coupled with that, you've got this target of making sure that 100% of your operations will be fully modernized and mechanized by the year 2030. Very quickly, take us through how that's already starting to filter through to, cost implications and cost of production locally.
I think modernization and mechanization starts certainly with making sure that our operations are safer, because we do see where we have high labor intensity, the risk to our colleagues working in the operation is much higher. I think that's the first point. It's also important to recognize that the bulk of our operations are already mechanized. And we see that come through in the fact that all three of those operations are already in the bottom half of the cost curve. The one operation that we still need to move is our Amandelbult operation, and the modernization work that we're doing at the moment is all part of moving that operation into the bottom half of the cost curve. And that would be firstly addressing safety, making sure our colleagues remain safe, and then the efficiencies underground.
Well, Natasha, let's leave it there. Thanks so much for having joined us on the line this evening. That, of course, Natasha Viljoen, who's CEO of Anglo American Platinum SA.